I'm Gary Stepp, and as Pastor Jack said, I now work at the United Methodist Foundation of Michigan. And so before that, I was pastor for 12 years, and then I worked at the Michigan Conference, the West Michigan Conference, and then I worked at the Detroit Conference. And that was like 10 years of my life. And so I've been at the foundation for 4 years, and my business background, it really fit well when they hired me. David Bell, the director, said, "Have you ever thought about working for the foundation?" And I said, "No, never thought about that." You know, so I was thinking money and banking and stuff, which always intrigued me, but I was called to be a pastor, right? And so I've learned a lot about finance and marketing and all that since I've been at the foundation. As you know, the foundation helps churches with money issues, and we've been doing this for 100 years. Can you imagine that? Helping churches invest their money with their endowments and, you know, doing consecration Sundays, things like this. But actually, I work with churches in visioning and helping them see the future. But I did learn a few things about the stock market. Anybody in the stock market? Anybody have a retirement fund? There's an index called the VIX. Have you ever heard of that? It's a volatility index. You know, how volatile the market is. And if you have a retirement fund, you know, your heart is volatile with the market, right? And so they actually call it the fear index. I didn't know that. Why? Because the market could go anywhere. And if you have money in the market, it can be fearful, right? And so I started to think about, you know, where we are in the world today. Are you fearful about the future? Are you more fearful about the future? I see a few hands going up. Well, you're not alone. Here's research shows that fear levels are rising globally, fueled by rapid change. Had many discussions about AI lately at dinner tables, right? That is changing the world rapidly today. Political polarization, oh really? Social fragmentation. People report thinking about death more often. That one really got me. Feeling less optimistic, showing more chronic stress symptoms. Signs of cultural increasingly gripped by anxiety and hypervigilance. You want any more good news? You came here for good news, right? But you know, when we move to the church and kind of opening up that reality, sometimes we got to get our head out of the sand. Where is the church at, right? I'm telling you, Pew Research shows that 30% of Americans now identify as nuns. And it's not the, you know, the habits, the Roman Catholic Church nuns, right? It's they choose that when, you know, do you have a religious affiliation? They choose none. And it's increasing. That number has grown sharply over the last few decades. A historic rise in secularization. 57% of Americans don't attend worship on Sunday morning or online. Isn't that incredible? That's a huge number. The United Methodist Church, almost 60% of our members are now age over 65. True story, right? Church closures at our all-time, this is my last good news for you, okay? I promise. Church closures, and I did a lot of this when I was at the conference center, at over 200 churches a week in the United States. That's all denominations. But you think about that. That includes church planting. So we're not out planting ourselves, right? We're in an interesting time, folks. We can see the darkness around us, can't we? But the question before us today is not, how bad is it? But the question is, how will we respond? How will we respond as people of God? So on this Commitment Sunday, the parable of the talents or the bags of gold, right? Same thing, that we've been given this great gift. God has entrusted us gifts and talents, right, to us. And in the story, like it's been kind of unpacked a little bit today, The master is Jesus telling the story about this two servants. And the first two servants invested boldly with what they had, but the other one kind of buries it out of fear. And when we look at the passages in verses 24 and 25, the reader today, I forget his name.
Marshall.
He's dead right about that end, man. The master is upset. Amen? I mean, he is really mad. But in verse 24, it says, the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. He's just kind of giving it back to God, what God had given. But he never did anything with the talents that he had. Just buried them in the ground. Have you ever seen people do that with so many talents that they don't bring them forth? And they kind of get buried, don't they? I mean, all of us have done that at one time or another. But a whole lifetime of that, of just burying our talents and not moving forward. I mean, it's got to be a huge disappointment to God. But I think this passage really unpacks a kind of a cynical or a misunderstanding of who God really is. Because in the next one it says, the master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Yeah. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed? ? You don't really understand who I am. You don't understand how loving and caring and all these gifts that I want you to discover and enjoy and all that I've given you. And you hide it. You don't do anything with it. You can see how disappointed the master is. I'm telling you, the word, I was so afraid. Fear can paralyze us, can't it? Fear paralyzes and prevents sometimes that faithful action that we need. And today, I mean, we want to get over that fear. We want to know that there is good news. There's a loving God that cares for us. The fear was not failure. It was inaction, right? It was that trusting in God's goodness that he's going to give us as we move forward, as we take those steps of faith, right? That was, and he hid this money in the ground. You know, that was a common time back there for safety measures. But here it symbolizes burying potential. And we don't want to do that, do we? How are we going to respond today? He preserved what he was given, but he didn't produce fruit. How many times in the Bible do they talk about fruit? That Jesus wants to see our fruit. He wants to see us change the world. He wants us to bring that light into the darkness. Folks, that's what we're here to do, aren't we? That's why we were raised up. I think even churches sometimes hide those gifts and graces. It's faith without works, belief without courage, or stewardship without creativity is when we bury it, right? As United Methodists, do you remember joining the church? Those of you that didn't join the church yet might not remember this, but what do you pledge as a new member? Those people that have been here, 75 years?
Yeah.
Holy cow. You need a reminder today, don't you? But what are we loyal to? Faithfully participate in the ministries with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our witness. Isn't that powerful? This Consecration Sunday, we were reminded of that. It's not about just our giving, right? It's not about the bag of gold that we're hiding in the ground, but it's movement in all these things. I believe when we move in these things, God is going to bless the socks off of us. He just wants to see movement in these areas, all the areas. And, you know, as I started to look online at Waterford Central United Methodist Church, I was looking at the things you do, teaching the next generation, right? We're doing that this morning. The importance in joy, found in a life of faith. Baking some cookies brings joy, doesn't it? Brings joy to me sometimes. How about you? How about the local ministries, the food pantry, fueling kids' futures every Wednesday at the local elementary school, Clothe a Child, Micah 6. All these are ministries that you do. Knit for Kids, Scholarship for Liberian Students. Is there any one that comes to your mind that you can yell out right now? Blessings in a Backpack. We used to do that. Any others? Rummage Sale. Good Sale. Oh. Vacation Bible School. What was that one? Trunk or Treat. But you see how all these things are breaking light into the darkness. It's the church, it's the gospel, it's the good news, it's the people of God being a witness of who we are out there, right? That's where ministry happens, is out there. If you watch Jesus' ministries, it's out there. These are not just programs, these are parables of faithfulness, aren't they? Amen? Give yourself a hand for all the ministries you do. Pastor Jack said, you're out there everywhere doing all kinds of things. He said, we're a busy church, but I think you're busy bringing the light, right, of Christ to a dark world. I joined the church many years ago. I'll tell you, when I joined it, I didn't connect with any of those things we just read about. I think I joined it because my wife was dragging me to church on Sundays. Anybody out there like that? I got dragged for many years, by the way, probably too many years. I was a believer, but I just didn't connect with all that stuff. I thought all those people that went to church were just, you know, above my level. They were all super holy, and I didn't want anything to do with them because, you know, I just wasn't on that level. You know what I mean? And this is, before I opened my bike shop, I was in the beer and wine business. So I'd often come to church maybe a little bit too many on Saturday night, if you know what I mean. And I'm telling you, one Sunday, this is what happens. One Sunday, I just prayed, I just need direction in my life, Lord. I just need a little direction. Luckily, I had praying people like my wife and her mother-in-law and my mother-in-law and everybody else just praying over me and hoping I'd wake up. Well, all I can say is watch what you pray for. I'm telling you, I prayed that prayer on a Sunday. Don't remember, just give me direction in my life. I know I'm not going in the right direction. The next day, the whole world changed. I mean, that doesn't happen for everybody. But I think it was built up, you know what I mean? That as I was coming to church, as I saw these people of God, they were bringing the light into my life. It was a step-by-step process. I actually read a book about this. And it happens slowly, but then it can also explode all at once because all those touches that you people of God did brought me back to life. Isn't that cool? My wife says it was like I was strapped to a rocket ship and kind of just shot by her. You know, she's been faithful her whole life. And here I was, I'm reading my Bible, I'm fasting, I'm praying every day. She's like, what happened to Gary? I'm like, oh my God. So as I grew, you see those vows of faithfulness, our prayers, our presence, you know what I mean? And then even our giving. I'm telling you, I was the stingiest giver. Why does a church need all that money? Anybody ever say that? Ever hear that? I've said it many a times. My wife is the generous giver. She should be up here preaching. She's here today up front over here. And she's so generous. I mean, she would give away everything we owned if it was up to her. Anybody out there have that spiritual gift of generosity? Careful. So she's bad, but her sister-in-law and brother-in-law are 10 times worse. They're so excited when they make money, they can't wait to think of the ways to give it away. I'm like scratching my head. I don't get it. And I don't get it. But I do remember. In church one day, Petoskey, Michigan, United Methodist Church, and I was fired up. You know, I was on a really, I joined small groups. I was leading children's ministry, and I remember the Sunday they passed out these cards. I guess they did that many years ago. And I remember the levels that we were giving at, the percentage levels. Folks, this was the first time I was excited to go up a couple levels. You know, we weren't at the tithing level yet. But I don't know where we were at, but I remember we went up like 2% that day. And if you ever see the Grinch where their heart, you know, the heart kind of expands two times that day, I think my heart expanded two times that day. I was actually so excited to go to two more levels up. I asked my wife if she remembered that, and she says, I remember that day that they passed out the. She said, they really did that way back when? I said, I guess so. And that's what we're asking today, movement, a response, a prayer. Have you prayed faithfully about this? The first step for me was that prayer, right? The next step was involvement. The next step was ministry. Breaking in that light into the darkness. God honors movement. You ever hear of an iPhone? So, great, I couldn't believe when I read this, but when Apple first began, engineers told Steve Jobs that it couldn't be done. They couldn't create a technology of the iPhone. They said it was the risk was too great, and the technology wasn't there yet. You know what Steve Jobs said? Build it anyways. We'll figure it out as we go. Movement, right? And he was honored by that movement. Had they buried that idea, they wouldn't be a $4 trillion company today. You believe in that? Isn't that amazing? But think of the church, friends. We hold something so much greater. The message of grace, hope, and salvation. So much greater, right? I hope you think, than an iPhone. I was working with a church, South Haven United Methodist Church. They have a huge building. You know, a lot of churches have these huge buildings that cost a fortune to keep the brick and mortar going.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I got an affirmative from Jack back here. It does. It costs so much. There was a young pastor down there called Stephanie Norton. She calls me up. Hey, can you come help us, you know, set some values and do some visioning? I said, absolutely. Let's do that. When I met with their team first, they were buried in financial woes. We can't take care of our building. Our congregation is aging out, you know. And I could just feel you could feel the room, right? They were gripped with fear, right? They were gripped with fear, and they couldn't move. And so they were burying and just kind of slowly dying away. A lot of churches do this, by the way. So we started, you know, visioning and having these conversations, and I'm telling you what, the whole room just kind of started to transform. They started to have hope. They started movement, and that, you know, giving started to go up. They're starting to see a future, and it was so cool to watch. So this spring, we were in there visioning. And we're visioning about, they had started a second service, but they wanted to put more energy into that. Stephanie, you know, we're starting, the leadership is talking about the second service and what we could do. And Stephanie just, I mean, it was like she got pale. She said, you're not going to believe this. She said, I have everything we just wrote down in my office on my wall that I visioned 7 or 5 years ago. She said, but we weren't ready yet. But God is giving us a vision for the future. So she texts me after Easter when they started the second service. She says, we have 35 people at this new service, a lot of families and children, and she's younger. And she was so excited. She sent the emoji with the little hat on and the little tweeter guy, you know. And she said she was just over the moon. But it's movement. God blesses our movement. God blesses us when we pray, when we look forward, when we bring light into that darkness. Faithful movement means that we take risks, right? But what keeps us from investing what God has given? I think fear makes us shrink. It whispers, what if it doesn't work? What if people don't show up? What if we fail? Never heard that before, have you? All right? I've heard churches say, oh, we tried that 6 years ago, or we tried that 10 years ago. What have you tried today? You know what I mean? God honors movement. God honors the vision. God honors direction. God will bless your socks off when you give towards that direction, when you pray towards that direction, right? So, faith says, what if God shows up? What if lives are changed? What if this is the moment the kingdom of God breaks through? Folks, is today the day? Wow, that's a little quiet. Is today the day? Yes, today is the day. I believe you're at a crossroads, right? And today is the day that you move forward on one of those roads to take a bold step. Fear is paralysis. Holding back is paralysis. Today you need to take a bold step of faith, showing up to pray even when you don't feel like it, giving generously even when we're unsure about what's ahead. Did you hear that? Giving generously even though you don't know what's ahead, serving when no one sees, speaking love into a world addicted to outrage. This is what it means to be the kingdom people, to live in a way that multiplies God's love that He has entrusted to us, to breaking in that light into the darkness. Today we're going to make pledges. It's more than filling out a card, I'm telling you. It's taking steps of faith towards tithing or even beyond if you're there. Oh, I heard your sermon the other day. Oh. I got an answer for you. Whether you should give on your gross or your net. It's gross. Jay Kendall, one of those generosity guys, he was my associate pastor. He said, do you want a gross blessing or do you want a net blessing? So today we say, God, I trust you enough to answer the question faithfully. What of you are you asking me today? Increase your faithfulness in prayer, your presence, your service, your witness, and, you know, also your giving. Not out of fear, because you want to break that light into the darkness. Amen.